Thank you, Brother Sean. And we'll invite Brother George to come and tell us about his trip and experiences in Romania, in Moldova, and I guess different countries. I think Brother George have traveled more in Romania since 2002. That was about the time when I left the country, but I only went back twice. So Brother George have been there many, many times, and he will share his experiences with us. So Brother George, if you please.
Just a minute, Brother John. Brother Sean and Brother Juan and Brother John, will you come here? We're going to sing a couple of verses of a couple of songs in the Romanian language. If we have these brothers come forward. We're going to start with the first and the last of number 87, which is He Leadeth Me. Number 87, we'll sing the first and the last verses. First of all, we do bring you
much Christian love from the brethren over in Europe. It was our privilege to be there, serving them from March the 8th until March the 27th. However, in order to introduce this subject of the Romanian trip, we're going to go back to the beginning. We're going to go back to the time that when my mother was about 15 years of age, her parents, my grandparents, traveled to Dallas, Texas on the train, which was about a 50-mile trip for them. And as far as I know, it was in the year 1916, the last trip that Brother Russell made. And from here, he went on to California, and then on the way back, he died in Pampa, Texas area. So my mother would have been about 15 years of age when my grandparents saw Pastor Russell. And I remember that my grandmother said that she had never seen a man who looked just like Pastor Russell. There was a large attendance there at that convention or gathering that Sunday afternoon. It was a warm Sunday afternoon in October, and yet it was so quiet. Ordinarily, without air conditioning, there would be a lot of noise going on, the fanning and so forth, but my grandmother said that it was so quiet there in that auditorium. And so my discussion really starts here. That was my closest association with Pastor Russell, my grandparents having seen him in person. And it was while my mother was still at home that my grandparents had meetings in their home. My grandfather, by the way, was looking forward to restitution. But as I understand, my grandmother had the hope of the high calling. Nevertheless, my grandfather made much effort to go into a little town where that he would pick up the pilgrims who had come by train. He'd bring them out to his home and entertain them, and then take them back to the train station. So that was my mother's acquaintance while she was still at home with the truth. And then my mother married, and there are five children in the family. I am in the middle of the five children. I remember my parents having heard a Brother Whitaker remark to them when I was just a baby that one day I might grow up to be a Russellite preacher. Well, this Brother Whitaker didn't really know that I would have so many privileges of not only serving brethren in the United States and Canada, but in England, in Germany, in France, in Romania, in Moldova, Ukraine, and Poland. And so I appreciate how that the Heavenly Father's overruling, even before we were born, how that He can overrule our affairs, that someone will be there to serve Him when there is a need. And I remember that as a young boy, we lived out in the country, and of course in those days we didn't have electricity, we didn't have any modern conveniences, but there was one of the neighbor women who was a widow who invited the neighbors to come, and she had one of these record players, you know, the big old records that they used to play. Maybe some of you never saw any of those, but the rest of the neighbors liked whirly music that was being played, but she had one hymn that she liked and I liked, and it's really just a nominal hymn, but it was a religious twist to it, and it made an impression, and the title of it was When I Take My Vacation in Heaven. Well, little did I realize then that I hoped to be in heaven one day. That is my hope, a heavenly hope. So even at that young age, I was religiously inclined. And I remember how that when I was in high school and before I graduated from high school, and that was 60 years ago, just about this time of the year in May, and I was asked to give a talk at the graduation service, And the subject I selected was We Accept Responsibility. Well, of course, in those days, I wasn't consecrated. I was only 16 years of age. And I was presenting it from the standpoint that my teachers perhaps wanted and perhaps my father wanted, along political lines perhaps. But nevertheless, the subject was excellent. We accept responsibility. And I was presenting this to the graduating class. Well, now, here, 60 years later, it is our privilege to stand before you, and perhaps this is graduation time for us, not long in the future, and we want to encourage each one of the consecrated to accept our responsibilities as a consecrated Christian. But meanwhile, I look back and I see how that the Heavenly Father, even before I graduated from high school, was drawing me to Jesus. And then after I started to college, I had time to study the volumes. And I started reading the 6 volumes. And it was in my senior year that I was on the porch one spring afternoon in the year 1951. And that's been 56 years ago, that I was reading about the baptism of the new creation. And there I saw my privilege of the high calling. And I immediately made my consecration complete. I was already in a consecrated attitude. So if there's anyone present here who is in a consecrated attitude, perhaps that in due time the Heavenly Father will invite you. And if He invites you to the high calling, you will know it. And immediately I asked the brethren to make arrangements for water baptism. Well, of course, sometimes the brethren don't always carry out our wishes as we would like for them to do. I wanted to be baptized immediately because I wanted to immediately start serving the Lord, in which I did without water baptism. But they got around to making arrangements, which was overruled, was very providential, on the fifth Sunday in July of 1951. Well, as it so happened, that was my birth date, and I was 21 years of age. So you see, the Father overruled that I wasn't baptized until my 21st birthday. So we appreciate that aspect of our consecrated life. But meanwhile, after I consecrated, I made a trip to Oklahoma City. There was a pilgrim that was serving there in Oklahoma City, and I had heard at that time that there was need for someone to go to the Don and work. And so I wanted to immediately, see, I had just consecrated, but I wanted to immediately get into the service. Well, I made that special trip, and I'll never forget coming back on the bus late at night. You know, I was tired, I was weary. And so my experiences started early. And so then I came home, and I worked until I was going to go to the Don in August, after the General Convention. The General Convention was held then in August. And so I packed my suitcase, I went on the train, well, in Ohio someplace, I had to take a bus, and I was packing what I needed, because I was leaving home to go to work full time in the Lord's service. Well, my trunk got lost, and in those days, you had to provide your bedding at the convention. I think if I recall correctly, the cost for the entire week was $15 for room and board. Anyway, it was some nominal amount. And but I had a few clothes with me that I'd taken, but my main things were in this trunk that got lost. Well, finally, toward the middle of the convention, the trunk arrived. So you see how our experiences start early after consecration. And, well, I got to the General Convention, and the Pilgrim Brother had not made one mention to the brethren at the Dawn that I was coming. And they didn't know I was coming. So arrangements were made for me to ride with the Woodworths from the General Convention, and I worked there for about a year at the Dawn. And then I came back home, and I was working, and I would spend my vacations going back to the Dawn and working. And then I went back again in 1955 and 56, worked over a year there. And I was setting the type for the Dawn magazine and other things that needed to be the typeset. Brother Gene Burns taught me how to run the linotype. Now, I wasn't nearly as efficient as Brother Burns, But it was sufficient to get the work done. And so then in the Lord's providence, I came back home, and I since then, I married in 1957, and Sister Ruth and I traveled about 3,500 miles a year, traveling and serving the brethren in Canada and the United States. And that was a real privilege. And I remember, where's Sister Gail? She was about 1 year old when I was in her parents' home. And when I was in Moldova, Brother Juan was 7 years old. We have a lot of close ties here. I had many privileges of serving full-time in those first few years. And then after we married, we still continued to have many privileges of full-time service. And we would come home, and Ruth would get a temporary job, and I would do colportering. And so this continued for a while, and then other privileges opened up. And then, as you have noted in the newsletter, this is the 35th year of broadcasting the Divine Plan program. And that's through the cooperation of many brethren who have made this possible financially and otherwise. And it is very costly, but nevertheless, it's such a privilege to realize how many have consecrated over the years after having heard the Divine Plan program. And there are still those who are accepting the truth after they've heard the program. And we know of three brethren who later became elders in their class after first hearing the program. And some of these, you know, would tell their family, and they would accept the truth and so forth. So you see how that the Lord has guided and directed us these many years. Now, of course, 40 years ago, I started selling advertising specialty items. And, that was secondary. Because the Lord's work is always first. I'm relating this to try to encourage each one to use all of your time as much as possible in serving the Lord, because these other things are transitory. Now, concerning advertising, I had to work hard there in the beginning, and still have to work hard, but now I have customers that they'll call me up or phone me, or rather email me, and, I need 2,500 more pens, or I need some calendars, or I need this. And you see, I don't have to spend too much time in the tent making, because we put the Lord's work first. Now, I realize this doesn't work for all the brethren, but nevertheless, we believe it's important to put the Lord's work first. Well, we come down the stream of time to the year 1991. And the year before, quite a few brethren from America had gone over to Romania. You remember the dictator had just been killed not too long before in Romania, and the brethren didn't have much liberty. They would have to meet in secret, and then when they'd come home from the meetings, the police would stop some of the sisters on the way home. Well, who was at the meeting? And some of the brethren were put in prison, and they had a lot of hard experiences. But anyway, Sister Betty Praycup wrote, I guess, the Brethren at the Dawn, maybe Sister Alpha, Sister Alpha Katerba was real good in keeping in touch with different ones. And so Sister Betty wrote and said, you know, that there were brethren there in Romania. We didn't realize that there were that many brethren in Romania, of course, at that time. So some of the brethren went over. Well, a year later, a couple of dear brethren wanted me to go over to Romania. So that was my first experience of going to Romania. And it was because these brethren wanted me to go. Well, of course, you know, it's expensive to travel. And so they offered to pay part of my expense. Well, that's all it took, just to, you know, we could provide for the rest. But in the Lord's providence, and this is very interesting, about that time there were a lot of banks that were changing names. You know, one bank would sell out to another bank. And so this bank that we were using for the class as well as our personal had a drawing. And Well, you know, every time I'd go to the bank, I'd fill out a little coupon and put my name and phone number in and so forth. Well, one day the phone rang and Ruth was at home, and they said, "Well, we won't tell you. Wait until your husband comes home. We want to tell him." Well, I had won a cruise for two. Well, I told him, "I don't want to go on a cruise, but would you use that money toward a plane ticket to Europe?" And they agreed to use money for part of the cost of the ticket to Europe. And so, well, of course, in those days, I hadn't studied the map like I should have, and I thought that Romania was close to Germany. I didn't realize that it was a 2 days' drive from Frankfurt to Romania. Well, that was in the year 1991. It was probably in May. I'm not sure the exact month, but it was in the spring or early summer that we went to Romania for the first time. Well, we visited brethren in Germany, and then we'd made arrangements to rent a car at the Frankfurt airport. Well, we were they rented this brand new Volkswagen that had about 30 kilometers on it. And so we had a beautiful car to drive from Frankfurt over to Romania. And it took 2 days of driving. So we had to stop at a hotel. And on the way over, it was getting toward night. So, we better try to find a place. And, you know, we don't know the German language. And, a lot of people over there speak English, more now than then, I think. So we saw this hotel. It was an old hotel, and we better stop and investigate. So we stopped, and they would accept American traveler's checks. And on that first trip, I thought it would be absolutely necessary to use American traveler's checks. And we took some cash with us, fortunately. But we found out that the gas stations would not accept American traveler's checks. And so, you know, that was unheard of, because I just thought that they accepted anywhere. But the stations wouldn't accept them. But we had enough cash to get to Romania. And then on the way back, we were in this town where that we had stayed at the hotel. And we knew they accepted the American traveler's check. And so, we came to this gas station. We were almost out of gas. And the stations wouldn't accept a personal check, and they wouldn't accept the American traveler's check. And we were out of U.S. dollars. And what are we going to do? So we went to the hotel. Well, we don't have any rooms, but we do have a room that we're remodeling for some of the relatives. And we'll let you have that for less in the regular room. Well, it turned out it was had a shower in it, whereas the others had a bathtub. And we preferred the shower, and we got it for less money. And they cashed American traveler's checks so we could get gasoline, and we got back to Germany with the car. But it's a 2 days drive each way. So you see, those little things were very providential. And now let's go back to the time we got to the Romanian border. And there at the Romanian border, Sister Lisa Dragas and Brother Ioan Neagomir and Sister Viorica Roska met us. And we knew Lisa. We hadn't met the others, of course. And we got there, and there was a long, long line of traffic. And somebody waved us on. Well, we started to go on to the head of the line. And then somebody, you know, they didn't want us to go. And what are we going to do? But anyway, we were waved on to the front of the line. Well, we got there, and it was a difficult time to find anybody who understood English at the customs. But finally, somebody came that could understand some English, and we filled out the necessary forms. And remember, this was a brand new Volkswagen. Well, I wasn't acquainted with the steering wheel, and somehow when we gotten out of the car, the steering wheel locked, and we didn't know how to unlock it. And finally, somebody told us how, you know, to unlock that. And so then we had seen Sister Lisa, and we waved at her, and we finally got through the border. And I'll never forget that Brother Ioan Neagomir, the first Romanian brother that I had met from Romania. I had actually met a Romanian brother in Phoenix several years before. But the first one from Romania, I'll never forget his welcome that he gave to us. Well, we, Elisa, I guess, got in the car with us, and Sister Villarica drove her car, and I guess Brother Niagamir was there in Sister Villarica's car. And we went to Oradea, that's just over the border, and we visited some friends. Well, in those early days after the revolution, the brethren were still very cautious, and they'd pull their shades down, and, you know, especially like somebody with a car coming in all, and I went out to the car for something. My brother Niagamir followed me. You know, he was afraid somebody would harm me. And so we visited there, and the brother whose home we were visiting got in the car and went to Cludes because there was going to be a meeting on Sunday. That was a Saturday afternoon. And we'd gotten to the border in good time, but we stopped and visited there, and then we visited at another place. And by the time we got to Cludes, it was after dark. Well, the sisters went on to the apartment, and we were instructed to take the car and put it in Sister Villarica's little shed, I guess you call it, where we could lock up the car. She had parked her car outside, and we put this car in there. Well, I couldn't understand anything about Romanian then, and I still don't know very many words, but a few words. And, well, you can imagine after dark and me trying to get in this little small parking space, and Brother Niagamir trying to direct me which way to turn. You know, we had to go around to the back of the apartment building. Well, we finally made it, and by motions and by signs. And then, well, it was quite late by that time, and we went to bed and got up the next morning and went to the Cluj meeting. Well, they had the old meeting house in those days, and you had to walk down to the front of the auditorium. And the brethren, we were a little late arriving at the meeting. It wasn't my fault, but it was just so that we'd gotten there late. I always like to be on time at the meeting. But we were a little late. The brethren had already assembled, and so we were ushered in, and ushered down. Sister Betty was in front, and I sat down beside her, and I'd never met her before, and I'll never forget how she looked over, and I think she said good morning or something like that in English. And of course, she was my translator, and that was our first experience of serving the brethren in Romania. It was in 1991. Well, of course, not realizing it takes so much time to drive, you see, 2 days to drive to Romania and two back to Germany. The German brethren, Brother Stalder, had wanted us to come back. They were having the German convention then, and so that kept us a little less time in Romania, but to get back to that convention. Anyway, we had a few days in Romania, and one of the places I remember going was Zalo, and that's Brother John, about 60 kilometers or so from Cluj. I'm not sure just how far. But in those days, the roads were not nearly as good as they are now. Now they have a pretty good road from Cluj to Zalo. But that was one of our experiences there early on in Romania. And we met with other classes also, but not very many meetings because our time was so limited. You know, we didn't realize that we'd have to spend so much time driving. A short time after that, I'm not sure just when Sister Betty Prakup came over to America, but we invited her to our home. Well, meanwhile, on that first... I think that was the second trip. Okay, it wasn't the first trip, it was the second trip after we had been there. And that would have been in the fall. I'm getting my dates mixed up just a little bit. It must have been, we were there one time in 1991, and then we were there again in May of 1992, and I think it must have been that time in, it couldn't have been 92 because we went to Moldova in 92. So I guess it was after the first trip that we met this family from Moldova. And Brother Juan knows them. I can't remember their name, but we had an invitation to have lunch together at Brother Cornell Bria's home. So Brother, after we got home, this family wrote to us. In those days, you had to have an invitation to go to Moldova. So they wrote inviting us to go for Ruth and me to go to Moldova. So meanwhile, Sister Betty had come to our home and she said, well, if you go to Moldova, I'll go with you and translate. Well, that's all it took. An invitation, you see, from the family in Moldova to go and someone to translate for us. So that would have been in May of 1992 that on a Friday night, there were some of us who left Cluj at the railroad station about 9 p.m. That was on a Friday night. There was Brother Encia. I don't know whether any of these names are familiar to any of you or not, but Brother Encia is an old-timer in the truth, a very precious brother. Now he's up in years. But anyway, he went with us to Moldova. And then there was a Brother Iwan Hosu, what's the other similar? Hosu? From Cluj. But he wasn't consecrated at the time, but he's since consecrated. But he worked for the railroad, and he had a lot of connections. So he went with us, and then Sister Lisa and Sister Betty and Ruth and myself. Well, we got on this train at 9 o'clock at night, and I have never been on a train since that was so packed. If you're familiar with the trains there's a little passageway, a hallway, and then there are the compartments where that you can sit inside. Well, the hallways were packed. It was like sardines. You just had to work your way, and we didn't know where we were going to be seated. In fact, I guess we didn't at that time even have a seat because the brethren were late in getting our tickets, and I guess a couple of the brethren who were getting our tickets just got on the train at the last minute. And the brethren who had gone down to the station waiting for us, they were on the outside, mm-hmm. and they told these brethren which compartment we had finally gotten to. Ruth and, I'm not sure, I guess Ruth, Lisa, and myself, I'm not sure if there was anyone else. I think just the three of us. And we finally made contact with the other brethren. They just barely got on the train there. Well, we left there about 9 o'clock, and we traveled until the next morning to Iași, Romania. We were up all night, and we had an opportunity after we got to Iași to go to a friend, not a friend of the truth, but a friend of this Brother Iwan, who seemed to know people in every place because working for the railroad. But she was very kind, not in the truth, but she fed us, and we could stretch out on the couch, but I couldn't sleep, I was just too keyed up to sleep, but I got a little rest. So I was then up all day Saturday. We finally got on a train to go to Moldova. And in those days, they had to take off, they elevated the train, took off the wheels, and put on different wheels so we could go into Moldova. So that took a long delay. Well, meanwhile, Brother Ensign and Sister Betty had taken a bus to Belch, is that the way you pronounce it in Moldova? That's where we were invited to go. And so they got there a lot earlier, but we were about 10 o'clock Saturday night. See, we've been up a long, long time. And, we saw soldiers on the train. They were fighting in Moldova, someplace not very far away, and we were told, well, they're just coming home to rest up, and they'd go back then to battle. And that was quite an experience, in a foreign country, and we'd come to a certain place, and here were the soldiers, with their guns. And we finally got to this place, and it must have been midnight or after before we got to bed. We had a chance to eat and clean up and visit with these brethren through translation. And by the way, at that time, there were no brethren in Moldova who thought that the door to the high calling was open because they didn't have the 1916 forwards, and they thought that the door was closed. Now, Iwan was 7 years old at that time. I'll get to that a little later. But it's interesting that in the Lord's providence, this family who invited us never have accepted the fact that the door to the high calling is open. But they were the ones used by the Lord to direct us there to Moldova. Yes, we wouldn't have gone if we hadn't had this invitation, and if Sister Betty hadn't said, I'll go and translate. They said, now we're going to catch the bus the next morning to go to Edinet. Edinet is in the northern part Moldova. And, they said we're going to leave at a certain time to go down to the bus station to catch the bus. And somehow they, through translation or something, we were to go earlier. So we weren't ready. We just had to literally just jump into our clothes, so to speak, to get down to the bus. Well, we got to the bus, and it was full, as I recall. And how far is it, Brother Juan? About 30 kilometers. No, it's further than 30 kilometers, isn't it? It's about an hour's drive or so. But anyway, we got over to Edinet, and there the meeting was held in a large home. And, it was packed. And we put up the chart of the ages. Of course, it was in English. But nevertheless, the chart is the same except for the wording. And let me go back just a little bit. When I was just a small boy, I went to the meeting in the country where this Brother Whitaker that I mentioned earlier would come down once a month, or maybe not even that often, and would put up the big chart he had. And that made an impression upon me. Maybe that's the reason I use the chart so much, because I saw it from a very early time. I'm thankful that he used the chart. And I remember one time that Mother got us ready to go to meeting. We had to walk to the little country schoolhouse, and the brother didn't show up. And even though I was young, I wasn't consecrated, but I was so disappointed that we couldn't have the meeting. So anyway, let's go back now to the chart there in Edinet. Just imagine all of these friends there in this large room, and probably overflowing into some of the other rooms. And we discussed, I guess, just about all day. You know, they had questions, and we had the privilege of telling them that the door to the high calling was still open. Well, you know, the brethren, or the friends rather, at a belch where we were being entertained, said, "Now you leave your luggage here, you just take your books with you, we're coming back here tonight." Well, we got to Edinet, and they begged us to stay overnight at Edinet, which we did. And again, that was so providential, because the next day we went to Roussin. Now, Roussin is just a short distance from Edinet, but it's a village. And they have a large class there now. But at that time, you see, there were no consecrated brethren. However, they invited us to come, and we went. And I'll never forget that Brother Niagu, the father, Brother Villarreal. Some of you met Brother Villarreal Niagu when he was here before. Well, his father, we were invited to his mother and father's home, and they have a well out in the yard, and he drew up some water there. I'll never forget him doing that. And the girls then, I guess it must have been the daughters of Brother Villarreal and Sister Villarica. They were just small girls then, and it was May of the year, and there were beautiful lilacs in bloom. Well, everywhere we would go, we were welcome with bouquets of lilacs. Many, many flowers were given to us on that occasion. Well, now, those girls, several of them are consecrated now. In fact, I guess about four of the girls are consecrated now. They were little girls then, but now they, you know, that's been a long time since 1992. So, you know, the brethren there in Roussin accepted the fact that the door to the high calling is still open. So you see how providential. The ones at Edinet, for the most part, have not accepted. But there at Roussin, they have. And I call that the city of brotherly love. If you want to experience love, brotherly love, then I invite you to go to Roussin, Moldova. Let's see, John has been there, I believe, and Billy to Roussin, the city of brotherly love. And we had that privilege on this trip of being there, but we're getting ahead just a little bit of that. So now, after being at Roussin, you know, some of these things are a little vague in my mind, but I believe that Monday we must have gone back to Belch to spend the night and get our luggage. Then I guess it must have been the next day, if I recall, that we went to the south where Brother Juan's parents live. And, we got there. It was a warm afternoon in May, and we went down to the little store where that they had piles of loaves of bread. And I'll never forget, you know, they don't wrap the bread there. I think they do now in some places, but for the most part, they don't wrap the loaves of bread. It's just, you know, out of the oven. And piles of them, and children come into the store and they put their feet up against the bread. And, well, you know, we just weren't accustomed to something like that. Anyway, I'll never forget that experience of being at that little store. And so then they had baked Sister Joachim's parents had a big oven. They weren't in the truth then, but they later, I think, started meeting with the brethren. But they had this big oven that they baked loaves and loaves of bread, because the custom is that after the meeting, everybody eats. Well, of course, that room there at the Joachim's was packed. And it was a warm night in May, and of course, the body heat. And I put up the chart again there. And this is where Iwan comes in. He was 7 years old. And I had a pointer in my pocket that, you know, you pull out and expand. And I pulled that out showing that the harvest still continued. You see, it wasn't over. It still continued. Well, Iwan will never forget that illustration. And so, how many years later was it? How old were you when you consecrated?
Almost 7 years.
7 years later? No, it would have been more, 10 years. You were 17? Okay. So you see, you never know what an impression some of the young ones may receive at our meeting. So we encourage the young ones to sit in on our meetings. You may think they're not listening, but they may be listening closer than you think. And you know, what can you remember when you were 7 years of age? Well, I remembered several things, but, you know, that made an impression upon Brother Iwan. Well, as a result of that meeting, we were up till about midnight. And I remember that we'd been traveling, you know, long distances from Romania to Moldova. And here, where Ruth had an opportunity to rest just a little bit, we thought we were going to spend the night there at the Joachim's. So she went into the room they had prepared and she rested some while the meeting was going on. But I didn't have any opportunity to rest, and I had come down with a cold and I could hardly speak, but it was just necessary for Sister Betty to hear, because she could translate for me. I mean, they had to hear Sister Betty, not me. And so anyway, we had a meal about midnight. Now, all of these friends there that, there were a lot of them, you know. Well, it took a long time to eat, of course. And, they kept talking back and forth. Are we going to spend the night there, or are we going to go to the Romanian border? Well, about 2 a.m., more or less, we left for the Romanian border. And remember, I hadn't been to bed. And so then we had car trouble. Two cars went to the border. And we had car trouble along the way. Well, finally we got to the border at Yash about 6 o'clock or so in the morning. I forget the exact time. And I can't remember. We must have taken a train from there back to Cluj. But that part has skipped my memory, because I know we got back to Cluj sometime. So that was in the year 1992. Well, then in 1993, Ruth and I had the privilege of going to Israel. If you may or may not remember that in 1992 there were about 70 some odd brethren who traveled from the U.S. and Canada, and the Stallers from Germany also came to Israel. Well, you know, I had this invitation to go. Well, should I use the Lord's money? You know, it's expensive to travel. Should I use the Lord's money to go to Israel? So I finally reasoned, well, if I can stop by Romania about for the same cost, it didn't cost too much more to make a stop in Romania, I'll go to Israel. So arrangements were made for us to stop in Romania and then to go from there to Israel. Well, Brother Alan Springer had also elected to go to Israel, to Romania first, and then from Romania to Israel. So the three of us were at the Bucharest airport. And it must have been, well, they were Jews there working to screen out who was going from Romania to Israel. And Brother Allen was singled off to by himself and Ruth and I. And, you know, why are you going to Israel? You're Americans. And why are you going to Israel from Romania? And so we, you know, tried to explain. And fortunately, Ruth had a Polaroid camera that had pictures of Brother Allen being in our group. And so finally, they let us get on the plane to go to Israel. But it was, it was quite uncertain at first just what they were going to do. Well, one of the things was that, what hotel are you going to stay at? Well, we're going to stay at a hotel at the airport. We thought we were informed that there was a hotel at the Tel Aviv airport. And there's no hotel there. And so it's some distance from the airport. Well, you don't know where you're going. But finally, they let us get on the plane, and we got to Israel. Well, on the way, Ruth sat by a woman, a Jewish woman, who was originally from Romania, and her husband was going to meet her in Israel. Well, she struck up a conversation with Ruth, and of course, there was a real close tie there because of our interest in Israel, of going to Israel. And so when we got to the airport, her husband met his wife, and he showed us where the bank was, and, we needed to, exchange some money, and I don't remember just all the details of that, but he showed us where to take a taxi to go to the hotel. And so we finally arrived at the hotel where we were to stay. And that was a wonderful trip to Israel. We got to see places that the ordinary tourist doesn't get to see. So it's an opportunity once in a lifetime to go to Israel. But you see, that was three times, 1991 and 92, that Ruth had the privilege of going with me to Romania. And after that, she wasn't able to go anymore. Well, I'm sorry that I don't know the number of times that I've been to Romania. But 1991 to 2007 is a lot of years. And I do know that at least one and maybe more years, I was there three times in a year. And many times, two times a year. And Lord willing, I'm planning to go back this year in November. Now, I hadn't originally thought to go back so soon, but everything just opened up for me to go back in November. I was going to use mileage I have. I get a lot of mileage through use of credit cards, and they're always giving me bonus miles. And just recently, I took out a credit card from Bank of America, and they've already given me 12,000 miles, and they'll give me another 8,000 bonus miles. So that's almost enough for a ticket to go to Canada. American Express is the same way, and Citibank. They're giving bonus miles. I take advantage. I take their credit cards. And sometimes you have to pay a fee, and sometimes you don't. But anyway, I had 25,000 miles that I bought a ticket. I was going to go last fall to see a brother, Harry North, and Sister Dorothy North, his natural sister, and Brother Bob Chalk. Some of you know Brother Bob Chalk. And I was going to go last fall. Well, I had to cancel and had to put my mileage back into, eventually I put it back into my Delta account. And I was going to use that to go to Newfoundland again, So I got my ticket, and, you probably noticed on Brother Ron's list that Brother Harry North died not very many weeks ago. But meanwhile, he was so sick, he said, can you change your ticket to September, October? Well, of course, I knew that he was so sick, and so I just had the mileage put back into my account. But, that made me have over 50,000 miles, and it takes 50,000 miles to go to Europe. And so that was the deciding factor. I should... Oh, let's go back a little bit. Last Sunday, I was in Toronto, Ontario, where the brethren there wanted me to come back this year. They don't have any elders. And so the brethren from Canada and the United States serve them. And so I agreed to go back in the fall. And I said, set the date November the 11th is tentative because, it takes 25,000 miles to go to Toronto. And, it takes 50 to go to Europe. So I am able to serve the brethren, Lord willing, in Toronto on the same ticket for 50,000 miles, go to Toronto, and then from there to Warsaw. Brother Lobita will be translating for me in Poland and Ukraine. And when I was there last March, I was just one visit in Ukraine, and one of the brothers from another ecclesia that I saw said, "We need you here." And so, you know, that was an incentive that the brethren do need someone to come. And so I'm planning, Lord willing, to go to Warsaw and then to Ukraine, from Ukraine to Moldova, and then to Romania. And Sister Betty was so willing to translate for me in Romania. So that's the plans for November, if the Lord will. And Brother Iwan, I think, will come to my home and be there so he can answer the phone. We do appreciate Sister Eleanor Nichols and Sister Margaret Filojewski and Sister Ruth Cunningham for filling in while I was there in Europe in March. Let's see. We're getting just a little ahead, but as I mentioned, it's been our privilege to be in Moldova and Romania many times. A lot of times in Ukraine, a few times in Poland, a few times in Germany, and a few times in England. And last year I was in France for the first time. I'd been at the airport, but I visited brethren in France. And I met a brother, Jeremy, there and his family. Now, Sister Eleanor will recognize that they somehow are related to Michael's parents. I'm not sure what the relationship is. But anyway, Brother Jeremy is a young brother and such a precious brother. So Lord willing, I'll get to spend a few hours with him and his family in November. Well, it'll actually be in December when I'm coming back. So we're looking to the Heavenly Father for guidance in that direction. But these brethren just beg you to come back. In fact, when I got back from Romania, some of them said, "We already miss you." And so it's such a privilege to serve the brethren. And so we want to keep doing that as long as we can. And our time may be limited, but as long as we're here upon this earth, if the Lord has something for us to do, here am I, send me. And of course, the brethren in this country also need help. And last night we visited about 3 hours with Sister Hip and Sister Nellie over at Lake Charles. And it was such a blessing. You know, even though there were just the four of us, Brother Juan and I and the two sisters, yet it doesn't take large numbers, you know. And these are the ones who need our help. So we encourage you to look around. And if you can't do anything else but get the telephone and phone some of these brethren, because they need encouragement. Well, I think that now that we'll tell a little bit more about the March trip. I guess we've got a few minutes left. I had a lot of invitations to go, and it's not easy to travel, especially after my loss, because David was always there to answer the phone and take care of all the necessary details, and he did such an excellent job. So it wasn't easy to make that decision to go in March. But you know, I'm determined to do what the Lord would have us to do, and when he directs, we want to follow suit. And that's what we've tried to do now for 56 years. And I hope that I'll continue to do it. I hope that I will die with my shoes on. I don't want to give up. I want to keep on. I want to serve the Lord, the brethren, and the truth. And I hope that something we've shared, this personal experience, we hope that it will encourage you to be zealous in serving the Lord with all that you have while you have the opportunity. So anyway, we left. I guess I boarded the plane. It must have been, I think it was the 6th of March that I boarded the plane. And of course, you know, the time difference. I arrived in Bucharest on the 7th. And I spent a few hours at the Bucharest airport. And then flew up to Chisinau. You know, to fly up to Kissimmee, it's only an hour. But to drive, it takes all day to go from Romania to Moldova. And it's a hard trip over the rough roads and over the mountains. It's not easy to travel. But flying, it's rather easy. So when I landed at Kissimmee, there were about 13 or 14 of the brethren and the children there with flowers at the Kissimmee Airport. Wasn't that beautiful to give me a warm welcome there? And I think the program calls to 8:15, Brother John. I don't know. I was counting on that anyway, but I'll finish. I'll finish soon. Well, Brother Juan's parents, Brother and Sister Beville, invited me to stay at their home. And so that was a real privilege. Well, at some point in time, I'm not sure whether it was this coat or another one of my coats, one of the buttons was just about to fall off. Well, of course, I didn't have any needle and thread with me, so I asked Awan's mother. And the sisters know just how to do those things. And she took and just fixed the button on just very nicely, you know. So, you see, that was a privilege of service that she had. And, when somebody offers to do something for you, don't turn them down, because you're denying them a privilege. If they want to do something, accept that opportunity. We didn't have a meeting that night, but the next day there was a general gathering in the southern part of Moldova, and the room was packed. Then that night we went to Kissimmee, where there weren't very many brethren at the meeting there in Kissimmee. By the way, from the meeting that we first served on March the 8th until March the 27th in France, there were 35 discourses at 31 different locations, about 3 weeks of time. We purposely wanted a schedule that way because, you see, we get to see twice as many brethren. When we first went over to Romania, we would sit all day or do something all day without being with any of the brethren. And as we went year after year, we discovered, this class is close to that class. And meanwhile, we'd go to a class at night and come back to Cluj. The next day, another class and come back to Cluj. But as it is, we can go from one class to the next, and we've learned where that there are brethren who can entertain us. So we suggest a schedule, and sometimes they make a few changes. But this way, we can serve twice as many brethren in the same amount of time. So anyway, we had three meetings in the south, I believe. The general meeting, then at Kissimmee. And where was the meeting, Brother Iwan, the next day? The twins' home? Where? So we had that meeting, and then from there, we traveled up to the northern part of Moldova, and we got to Rusyn. Well, we had a meeting Friday night, and then on Saturday morning, Brother Allen, meanwhile, had come up in the van with a group of brethren from Romania, and he stayed in Moldova, so I only got to see him at Rusyn. And Sunday then there was a much larger attendance. There was a large attendance every time in Rusyn, but real large on Sunday, an all-day meeting. And the first meeting, I guess, on Sunday morning was served by a brother from Ukraine, and then I was next, and then Brother Allen and Brother Cornell Bria. So there were four meetings there. Well, they have some chairs, the stacking chairs, but they take up more room. So they had benches that they made, boards, with some kind of support under the board. And that way you can get more people in the room. And, your knees are right up close to the ones in front of you. Now, to sit all day under those cramped conditions, that's quite something. So that's the city of brotherly love, as I said. And so I think I think we even had a meeting Sunday night. I'm sure we did. We had a lot of meetings there in the north while we were there. And then the next morning, on Monday morning, we got up very early and started for Romania. Well, as I said, it's not easy to travel over the mountains and the rough roads there. And we came to Kochu in Romania, where we had a meeting. And we thought we were going to spend the night there. But the brother who has a car that's going to take us to St. George preferred to take us that night because he had to work the next day. So, you know, we traveled from Moldova and had the meeting, and then we still had to travel further to spend the night where we were going to have the meeting the next day at St. George. Well, we got there, and the sister lives up on a hill, and the roads were a little bit wet and muddy. And it was after night by that time, of course. And I had a little tiny flashlight in my pocket that could see a little bit. But, you know, you could hardly see where you were walking up the hill. And we had all of our luggage to carry. And this sister at whose home we were entertained took and put one on her shoulder and carrying some. You know, and I was carrying some. And Sister Betty was carrying some. But anyway, we made it up the hill. And then this precious sister, who was so consecrated, I think there were about three of the friends in her, I guess you'd call it her bedroom, and then I was in, I guess what you'd call the dining room. I had a private room, but the others were all in the room together, and she and another sister slept elsewhere, you know. So very, very sacrificing. Well, we had a lovely meeting the next day there at St. George. And from there, Brother Villarreal from Siget, I should know his last name, but anyway, he and his wife Presidia entertained me when I go to Siget. And he met us there, and we had an extra surprise. We got to stop along the way for a meeting. So the brethren had gathered together there, and I hadn't expected that. And so we had a meeting on the way to Siget, and then we had several meetings there in Siget area at Yapa and Kalines and Mara, and as well as Siget. But meanwhile, on a Friday, some of the brethren had come from Ukraine over to Rusyn, and they said, well, why don't you come back to Ukraine with us, and then you can go to Siget from Ukraine, because now they've opened up a border there at Siget. It's very easy to go from Romania into Ukraine from Siget. You just go across the river. And I said, well, we've already got a planned schedule. I can't go with you from Moldova. I've got to go back to Romania. But let's check the schedule for Friday. And I was informed, I thought, that there wouldn't be any meeting on Friday morning. But as it turned out, there was a meeting scheduled. But the brethren were able to change that from Friday morning to Thursday morning. Several brethren in different ecclesias had gotten together, and on a short notice, they notified, and so we were able to have the meeting on Thursday. So we, on Friday morning, got up early and went across the border. And, well, Brother Labita came down to meet us, but the car broke down, and he had to go back and get another car. So it took more than 2 hours to get up to the place in Ukraine. We got there, and we only had 2 hours for the meeting, and they also fed us during that time. And then we had to turn right around and come back to Romania, another over 2 hours drive. But they didn't know how long it'd take to get across the border. But as it turned out, they brought me to the border, and I walked across the bridge, and it got through real fast, and we got to Kalines for the meeting in plenty of time. Well, at Kalines, there are a lot of brethren there. The practice of the whole village come to the meeting. And the same way at Chicherda. Okay, I have a hard time pronouncing some of these names. They're practically all sisters. And those are two of the large classes in Romania. Well, I must bring this to a close, but we went from Siget to Mara and then by Mara, and on Sunday afternoon we went up the mountain to Covenant. Now, I always enjoy going to Covenant because it's way up on the mountain, but the brethren there are very precious, and we enjoy being there. And at Baimari, I stay with Brother Valentin and Sister Lydia. Uh, Akeem. I was trying to think of the right name. Brother Valentine and Sister Lydia Akeem. And, oh, they're precious, brother. And I had the privilege of immersing them. By the way, I had the privilege of baptizing Sister Eleanor, and it seemed like there's somebody else present here. Who?
Peggy.
Oh, Sister Peggy, and who else? Oh, Brother Freeman. Well, anyway, that's a real privilege to have the privilege of baptizing one. But I had the privilege of baptizing the Akeems, and they're a very precious family. They have a young son and daughter, and they translate for me. Anyway, while I was there, Brother Valentine said, you know, if you'll come to Romania, I'll build a house for you. But it wouldn't be practical for me to live there. At least that's what my reasoning is, because I think I can serve the brethren there living here better than I could if I went there, because I wouldn't have anybody to translate for me. They're very precious. And then after I got home, well, we already missed you, they say. So that's why I want to go back. And those brethren are so appreciative of having someone to come. So from Weimar in Covenant, then we went to, I think our next stop was down to maybe the Hungarian villages. That's a real treat, too, at Otud, Romania. They're Hungarians, and they have translation from English to Romanian to Hungarian. You have to, sometimes you get ahead. You have to wait for them to translate. But anyway, they're very precious, but very, very sound in the truth there at O2. And then the next day we went over to Artizel, Romania, another Hungarian village. And then we worked our way over, I guess, to, we also went to Salzig and then to Sadamari, Negres, and then I guess Zalo probably was next. And then that next day, we had a meeting at San Pedro, Semihá, and I hadn't expected to serve the brethren at Cluj, but they were having a study. And so they finished with their first study, and then the next one was to be chaired by Brother Iwan the Agamir. Well, they wanted me to speak. And so, I don't turn down a privilege, and so that was the third meeting in that day at Cluj. And by the way, they were trying to be conservative with the electricity, and I, as always do, I pulled off my coat before we went into the meeting, and it was cold, and so I had to get up and get my coat, but then we made out just fine. And then I guess the next day we went down to Sister Natalia's home, and then at Chicherita and Tigermers. That was three meetings also that day. And we served the brethren at Gadolin. And at Gadolin, after the meeting, you know, we were there such a short time. Oh, can't you come and spend a lot of time here, you know? Because they have questions, and that was a very precious experience there at Gadolin, too. And then to finish sale, this is where Brother Cornell, Bria, and Sister Maria live now at finish sale. This is where Sister Betty grew up, or where her parents live. And, of course, her parents are both gone now. But that was nice to be at Finisel. And, I guess then the next day we had a meeting at Cluj. And there were two classes there. One class meets in the morning and the other in the afternoon. So we had preferred to have only one meeting, but as it turned out, we served both classes. And I wish I could go into detail about the meeting there, but I don't have time. And I guess the next day then we went to Bucharest and had a meeting there at Bucharest. And the next day I flew to France, had a meeting there, and the next day home. And I got home, and Sister Eleanor was the last one there. First Sister Margaret Froliszewski and Sister Ruth. And everything was just so clean when I got home. And Sister Eleanor had worked very hard of taking care of the mail, the correspondence, the phone calls, and so forth. And we've been busy since we got home, too. We've had a lot of privileges since that time. We've been to Denver, to Vancouver, British Columbia. And at Vancouver, British Columbia, there was a lady who watched the television about a month ago, and she came out to the meeting at Vancouver. And Sunday at Toronto, there was a man who watched the television program not too long ago, and he came out to the meeting. And so this morning we had the privilege of meeting this newly interested person. So brethren, there's work to do for each one of us, and all can do something. And let's remember that our life will soon be over, and only what we do now, we don't have too much time to do it. So I hope that this has stimulated each one to be more consecrated. We've given our all to the Heavenly Father. He's given it back to us. And so let's be zealous in using that which is in our hand. May the Lord add His blessing. Oh, I guess that Sister Eleanor had My Grace is Sufficient recorded. David was so sick, I started writing the words for My Grace is Sufficient. And I finished it after he died. And I composed the music, and Brother Iwan has a program on his computer that he would punch in the notes that I had composed. And I think there's a note or two that needs to be changed. But we invite you to sing along with My Grace, God's Grace is Sufficient. Thank you.